Jesus,
I it's me, clearing my sinuses.
So, okay? Lovely way to introduce podcast number 33, and it's Tuesday afternoon, the, what is it?
13th, Tuesday the 13th, Black Tuesday.
It's the first day of John's annual holiday.
6 weeks, woohoo!
And we have Candy A here as well.
Hello, everybody.
So you have to work tomorrow, though, don't you? I'm going on a picnic tomorrow afternoon.
I'll love it.
I just decided now.
Really?
And yeah. Didn't your girlfriend tell you you were going Christmas shopping as well?
Yes, and we are. Yeah. We're going to go Christmas shopping and then we're going to go on a picnic.
And how do you defend yourself against the charges that you're pussy whipped already, John?
Because I'm happy doing what I'm doing. That's how.
Right. Yeah, that's how it starts.
Oh dear.
I've been pussy
whipped. Days of wine and roses that only last for a while.
Mm. Well, I'm going to enjoy the wine and roses while they last. Excellent. I shall gather my rosebuds while I may.
Speaking of which, I just went through Goulburn, City of Roses. Did anyone know Goulburn was the City of Roses?
They put on the signs. No, it's really the City of Bogans and Giant
City of Bogans.
It's not the City of Roses anymore, though, you know, because they ran out of water
in
Goulburn.
There was a shitload of roses.
They had Section 5, whatever, water restrictions.
Well, they have again. Basically,
and
they watered their roses too much.
I was listening to this radio program, and this woman was saying, well, the first time they had a bit of a drought, you know, everyone complained and they moaned and wailed about all of their exotic garden things dying.
And then they had to drink their own urine. Yeah.
The next time it came around, they'd already restructured their gardens with, you know, native plants and water. What is it? What's that type of gardening?
Sustainable?
Xeriscape. Yeah. Mm. Anyway, there's probably still some roses there.
Can we segue from the Bogans of Goulburn to the Bogans of Cronulla?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I guess we can.
Okay, well, for those, I mean, it's made the world news. I think even the international audience.
Yeah, it was in the New York Times yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Basically horrible fuckwits of two different varieties have combined in southern Sydney and are beating the crap out of each other and anyone who comes near them.
I think they're just general fuckwits of different ethnic extractions.
Yeah, that's true. As I view it, it's really just a turf war between young people. I mean, it's traditional on those very beaches. They just happened to be white last time around. And then, of course, we've got fuckwits of every different stripe leaping in, saying, this proves my cause is right or my cause is right. And the whole thing's very upsetting.
So some of the incidents that were actually involved, there was, I think, a bashing of some lifeguards by some...
Yes, of course, lifeguards are little angels who never get bashed on account of being fuckwits, but this time they were bashed by Lebanese, so it became a racial issue.
Yeah, but one gets the impression that there must have been a sort of... There's been a sort of long simmering culture war between people of Middle Eastern extraction from the western suburbs coming to Cronulla.
But it's been Westies v. surfers for generations.
Sorry?
It's been Westies v. surfers. The Lebanese are coming in from the west. Mm. It's just this time the young people who want to go to the beach and are coming in from Hurstville and the like have different colour skins, so everyone with that colour skin suddenly becomes a victim of these dickheads. But then, of course, you've got the neo-Nazis handing out their flyers, getting the kids pissed and telling them all they're part of some racial master plan. Yeah.
And then, of course, I don't know if Westies of yore used to come into... the coastal areas in busloads and convoys.
Well, no panel vanfuls.
And smashed cars all up and down the street.
The big riots in the 60s and 70s, though, where they were coming in train loads, yeah.
Mm.
But it wasn't getting the same headlines because we weren't part of the Great War on Terror and having to conflate every minor issue as to being part of some global...
I bet it made the Maroubra Times or whatever the
those surfy gangs are evil bastards, and the blokes they're beating up are not much better. Although a lot of people being beaten up just happen to be walking by with the certain colour skin, and that's bloody awful.
And women as well. That was a bit shocking.
That was awful.
Yeah, well, once you've got a drunken mob getting hyped up and angry, then all sorts of terrible shit's going
to
happen. And
most
and
local surfies are protecting their right to surf their own waves and defend it against people that aren't local.
Yeah, but when you're... It's like that dickheads anyway. They'll punch anyone up who just wants to use their beach. I mean, it's Yeah, they're fuckwits.
You're living in a big city. It's a bit hard to claim a particular way.
Having said that, young Lebanese have come in and made dickheads of themselves on those beaches and, you know, shouting at women who've got their tops off and stupid things like that. But
I don't think that matters what race they are.
No, like I said, they're just fuckwits.
It's young
yeah, okay. Good point. So it's not a big race war. It's just the Westies v. the... Fuckwits and
well, fuckwit Westies versus fuckwit surfies. This time, the fuckwit Westies are Lebanese, but
allegedly,
it'll all boil over. But in the meantime, it's allowed the bloody government to push through more police powers. What the hell is locking down a suburb anyway?
Locking down a suburb means they're going to be able to have major roadblocks, and they're going to confiscate cars without actually proving you've done anything. But, I mean, okay, sure, it's not going to affect the likes of us with our cars. It's only going to affect people with hotted-up cars with neons glowing underneath and six subwoofers in the boot.
Should point out that it's not going to affect any of us, no matter what we're driving, on account of us being 400 kilometres away.
Well, yeah, but we'll have the same powers here before the year's out.
Summer gnats, can't wait.
Anyway.
To find a big car yard.
Anyway, on the basis of that, I believe you found a suitable song for us, Gertrude.
Absolutely. This is one from Rory McLeod's Mouth to Mouth album.
And the song
God
is?
Loves Me.
I got hung from work tired and switched on the TV. There was a man talking. He looked a bit like Ian Paisley. Sounded like the Ayatollah, the Taliban and Pat Robertson. He was shouting about banking, homosexuals and the darkness of Scotland. I didn't hear him talk about Christian love. He was crying for money and the big fat spenders. Said he'd crucify any Jewish hippie for turning over the tables of all those money-grabbing moneylenders. He held the microphone tightly in both of his hands. He wore a suit and a tie and a dark pair of shades. He spat as he spoke, ignoring all the questions. He looked up at the sky and then he went on to say, I'm commanded by God, he will bring me to heaven. I have no choice. I'll kill, I'll die by him and steal. I'll act when I hear his voice. God is my judge, it's my duty to serve with devotion and readiness. I'm at his nod and beck and call. He speaks to me and I'm blessed. All the things I've done lately, God had told me to do. He's my guy, he loves me, but he can't stand you. Well, my only fault was my short temper and my next door neighbors turned me in. Satan told them to arrest me, but God told me, shoot them. And I was willing, because the world always wants to get rid of God's people. It's Bible prophecy. I was blind, I wore glasses, but now I can see all the things I've done lately. God had told me to do. He's my God, he loves me, but he can't stand you. Well, the police will have to use earplugs, because I won't come quietly. The queers, the blacks and the poor they're to blame. They're hoarding all the money. Oh, voices told me I was the true Christ and my relatives were working for the devil. I had to kill Mrs. Moore, the old woman next door. God told me she put spells on people. I could never ignore the Lord, always had to obey. I'd lie down, roll over and kill any one who gets in God's way. Deliver me from loneliness, deliver me good health. God is the next one I talk to after talking to myself. I was a born again pagan, an infidel, a heathen, it's true. And now God loves me, he's my God, but he can't stand you. Well, God's children have a right to defend themselves. The Lord told me to sell guns. It's the will of God, I must comply. He is the only one. Bullets and guns, they are a family affair. I'm rearranging the crucifixion, enterprising and pure. If at first I don't succeed, I'll try again, then quitting. It's no use being a stubborn damn fool about it. All the things I've done lately, God had told me to do. He's my God, he loves me, but he can't stand you. I will be exonerated, my slate will be wiped clean. God's my witness, kill me, but I'll keep coming back again and again. Deliver me from all evil, and I'll sing you a hymn. I'll sing God Save the Weasel and Pop Goes the King. All the things I've done lately, God had told me to do. He's my guy, he loves me, but he can't stand you. Oh, I'm a born again pagan, an infidel, a heathen, it's true. But now God loves me, he's my guy, but he can't stand you. Well, we fought the savages, we took God's land with the Lord on our side. God told us to do it, we are his flock, we are pure hearted, we are justified to fight the good fight and destroy God's enemies till the chosen ones are saved, sending plagues and famine to rejoice when they fall. We're God's righteous and brave. All the things we've done lately, God had told us to do. He's our God, he loves us, but he can't stand you.
So that was Rory McLeod with God Loves Me, but he can't stand you. And especially if you have a different God and like it all.
Or a different opinion.
Or a different opinion.
But particularly if you're driving into Cronulla tonight just to punch people, he really, really fucking hates you then.
Probably most of the gods do.
I think Sydney's recent spate of drunken violence has absolutely nothing to do with religion and more about more base levels of
fuckwitism.
Fuckwitism, yes. Mm. Or of clan group behaviour.
But Mike, doesn't religion make a great excuse for fuckwitism?
Well, there's certainly been a lot of spruiking about various opinions involving, I guess, Muslim populations in Australia, and nothing really. I don't think the word Christianity has hardly come up. Yeah. And I'm sure.
Oh, that between the surfers and the Lebanese gangs, there's not an ounce of real religious conviction between a lot of them, but. Anyway, we have a Christmas story.
Yay!
Yay!
Don't worry, it's not a fun story.
It's going to be. The ACT government says it might need to regulate the use of Christmas lights in suburban Canberra.
Oh, dear.
Labour member of the Legislative Assembly, Mary Porter, says she has received numerous complaints from residents about some lights remaining on until the early hours of the morning. She says while she supports the concept of decorating homes with festive lights, the neighbourhood attractions can be a distraction for others. Goes on to quote her, late at night with cars driving up, doors banging, people explaining how beautiful the lights are in very loud voices keeping them awake, she said. I don't think any of us want to be a killjoy, but it's a problem for some neighbours.
Yep, certainly dealing with the big issues there. Thank you very much, Mary
Surely
Poppins.
Should be
what was her name?
Neighbours rather than the Legislative Assembly.
Well, no, Mary Porter's constituents are obviously the sort of people who would rather ring the MLA rather than actually talk to their neighbours. Yeah. And
That's a broad generalisation.
When you're the sort of person who gets upset about people talking on someone else's property at night and maybe closing their car door, you can understand why you might not actually want to talk to your neighbour but rather ring your favourite busybody member of the Legislative Assembly.
Or talk to your landlord.
I heard a rather inspiring Christmas light story this week.
Yeah.
About a guy who every year puts on a really great display at the front of his house.
Mm-hmm.
And this year he's chosen Paris Hilton as the theme of his Christmas
That's
light
very Christmassy.
Display.
Yeah.
And he's got like massive, like life-size and bigger Paris Hiltons all over his place lit up.
Is he daring his neighbours to see who can get the most media coverage?
Well, it's really, I find that very inspiring. And next year, I won't have time this year, but next year, you just wait.
Yeah, you're going to do a Logan Dog extravaganza? Oh, you're going to do it here?
Yeah.
It's not going to be Paris Hilton next year, though, is it?
No.
No?
No, maybe someone a little more provocative.
Bob Marley, maybe, or Osama Bin Laden?
Osama Bin Laden is not bad. Yeah, maybe.
Mm. Yeah, then you get a whole bunch of surfers. Having a barbecue opposite and writing Aussie Pride in flaming letters.
I don't know if we get a whole lot of surfers in this town, being
they're
7 hours drive from the surf.
There are Australians living across the road, I know, because I've seen them playing cricket.
Right.
Yeah, right. It's a big giveaway.
And anyone playing cricket. Well, cricket loving people like terrorism too. I mean, the Pakistanis are mad for it. So.
South African?
That's true.
Yeah.
I think it's pronounced South African.
Sudifican. Right, so anyone got anything else to say about Mary Porter and her Christmas lights?
Well, I suppose I was thinking at first that's ridiculous. How are you going to regulate it? You're going to have a certain amount of wattage Are you going to try and reduce the shows to such a level of non-interest that no one will go around in their cars?
Yeah.
Obviously, they're going to get them to stop at a suitable hour.
But then you have to define what is external lights. If you've got your Christmas tree in your window through the night, does that count?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, where does the madness end?
Poor old Andy, Candy A here, is going around to every bar in town deciding whether this area is
enclosed.
Is enclosed or not, because 25%
must be... I don't know who you're talking about.
La la la, but he's now going to have another job. It's going to be taking out a light meter and measuring the amount of
the
light.
The emitted light,
out of,
I can see that one going to Environment ACT, the protectors of the environment. Definitely, okay. That light pollution is going to have to go. Canberra actually has always had a big focus on avoiding light pollution, I should say. It had a bit of interest from having observatories. We've got
The Mount Stromlo Observatory carried on for years about how we keep light levels down from the rest of town, even though they haven't done any serious astronomy there in 40 bloody years.
And the whole place burned down. So, anyway.
Yes, thank bloody God they can stop whinging.
There was a fair bit of light that day.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of smoke too.
And then those bastards in Chubb Insurance haven't paid up.
But in
Chubb Insurance.
.com. And also, if you try and walk around Canberra at night, you'll find out that the streetlights are run on about one candle power each.
We are famous for our dark streets.
Exactly that.
In the older suburbs.
Possible to even tell where they are.
Because I have a lot of friends coming to this town from overseas, and one of the first things they say is, it's very dark at night.
You can't see one streetlight from another, even though they're not very far away. Mm. I think it harks back to Canberra is the capital of Australia, and they built it here some 200 and something kilometres from the coast to avoid naval bombing in times of war.
Naval bombardment.
And I think this whole low light thing is possibly something to avoid air raids. You know, don't worry about anything. We've taken care of everything by having lots of trees and streetlights that don't illuminate anything.
I think the sighting of Canberra was actually a far-sighted reaction to global warming. Back in 1912, they said, everyone else has got their capitals down at water level, and when the seas rise, they're fucked. Whereas Australia will rule all. So it was great. And that's why we're pumping all that coal out now.
It'll just be us in Tibet.
We'll be dying of thirst, but at least we'll be above the sea level.
Oh, right? We'll do something.
Where's Peru's?
We've got all that uranium.
Oh, yeah.
Our uranium-driven desalinators.
Huzzah. This is a very international podcast tonight, seeing as we usually do local music. We've just heard from Rory McLeod, who's a man of the world. I've just got to say that
and who now lives in the Orkney Isles, by the way.
There you go.
I should say we do have his personal permission to play that.
That's right, he did send us a lovely email.
And I should say that we all love him. And
I've never met him, but I like his music and he gave us permission, so I'm willing to love him on that basis.
Anyway, I've seen him several times, and I do also want to say that I did appreciate, in that last track we just played, what I take was a bit of a piss.
He did an American accent for Tom.
Exactly, he did an American accent. And wasn't it piss poor? It was almost as poor as our accents last podcast.
Tom liked Gertrude's accent.
He did.
I love a man that's so set in his own culture that he can't pick up an American accent, which most Australians can pick up pretty easily just because of the fact that half their TV is, in fact, American.
Yeah, we only do goofy Southern accents.
Raise that.
Tom, I'm really disappointed that you didn't mention my accent. At least I tried, you fucker. Anyway, move on.
Don't alienate our only corresponding fan.
Coming up later, we've got some Fort Collins local music.
We're going for that now.
Oh, well, that's coming up very later. Sooner.
Yeah,
now.
This band's called The Atoll, right?
Could well be. Let's hear about them.
Well.
After we hear them. Thank you, The Atoll. We haven't got their permission at all, but they stuck it on their website, and that's good enough for us.
Okay. We'll play a song. We'll tell you what it is later. Thank you.
Okay, Andy, you're going to talk about this, guys.
So that was the Atoll. They were, in fact, five times nominated in the Best of Fort Collins by Colorado's annual readers' poll, and four times by the Collegian. Now, we'd all know the Collegian if we lived there, but we don't.
Colorado Collegian, even.
Could even be that. And that was, what was that song called?
The Alias, I believe.
Anyway,
what was the name of the band?
That was pretty cool, Schwab.
The Atoll.
The Atoll.
So it was the Atoll, the Alias.
I think.
And we can
the
put
Atoll,
a link up to their
Alias. Right.
We can put a link up to their website where we got all.
We will
from.
Do that. Yeah.
And we will, and that'll be great. And you can look at that now.
And we start.
And now you're back. Hello.
These are the fledgling sort of motions in our becoming a sister city with Fort Lincoln.
Collins.
Fort Collins. Yeah. In,
yes. We apologise for people
Collins?
In Fort Collins that don't like Fort Lincoln. You don't know where Fort Lincoln is, and we don't care.
No, we do, and we don't like the people in Fort Lincoln.
Yes, so
they're
if
weird.
You're in Fort Lincoln, please send us your hate mail. Please send us your hate mail too on a postcard. P.O. Box 4332, Hawker, ACT. We hate Fort Collins. Fort Lincoln's. We love Fort Collins.
ACT.
ACT 2614.
Sure
Australia.
Australia.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to say about those guys?
Yeah, yeah. There were some funny things in their bio stuff. Is this it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going to read it live.
Now that we're taking the piss, we thought that was a magnificently impressive website. Puts all the ACT bands' websites to shame. Go and have a look at loaddog.com, Canberra.
That's not true.
Bands.
The Lavans have a great website.
Except for the Lavans one, which is much better than everything else.
Yeah, it's true.
Lavans, I think MeetMe's website's pretty good.
MeetMe's website's had a lot of work. And your friends from Night Train.
Fine. So
Night Train's got a
from.
Website?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't got
they
a
They pay a lot of money to graphic designers for their website.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Nicholas Images used to be
You can also check that
amazing.
Out.
Yeah. Nicholas Images.
With Zed Link.
Okay, moving on. The Associated Press brings news that a Plymouth Belvedere that was buried in a concrete vault nearly 50 years ago as part of the state, I think it's Oklahoma's, golden anniversary celebrations will be unearthed in 2007.
Pennsylvania.
No, it's Oklahoma.
Okay.
What is a Plymouth Belvedere?
It's a car.
It's a car.
Oh, okay.
A
yes.
Tank.
The 1957 Belvedere is underground next to Tulsa County Courthouse. Also buried in it were 5 gallons of gas, so they could drive it on account of all the petrol having run out by now, and a case of beer.
I'm surprised someone hasn't dug it up. There's 5 gallons of gas in there.
There's no beer left either.
Petrol for our Australian listeners.
Wouldn't it all have evaporated by now?
No, you still have petrol.
I imagine they put it in some sort of a container.
Yeah, right.
And just pour it on the ground.
I thought it was in the petrol,
in the petrol tank.
No,
no,
petrol might evaporate out of a tank. Hydrogen will, but petrol, no. Anyway, there was also an unpaid parking ticket. Boy, that one's going to be worth some money now. A bottle of tranquilizers and a spool of microfilm which records the entries of a contest held to determine the winner of the car. The person to guess Tulsa's population in 2007 or the heirs of that person win the car and a $100 savings account. Assuming the average annual interest of 5% compounded quarterly, such an account would be worth almost... $1,200 today.
Yeah.
So all those, you know, day after tomorrow stories about people putting 50 cents into a bank account and coming back in the future.
It's worth $7 billion trillion.
Yeah, it's only worth $1,200. The account was set up at a savings and loan that was taken over by Sooner Federal, which was liquidated during the savings and loan bust of the early 1990s. The committee has been trying to find the account so far without success.
Banks, why do so many people trust them?
It's not clear exactly how many items were prepared for burial or how they may have been held up or how they may have held up for all these years. The Tulsa Historical Society and the Centennial Committee have been getting inquiries from all over the world about the car, including one from a Scandinavian who claims to have an exact twin of the buried Belvedere.
Now, I believe that they've also been getting coverage in our podcast just then.
Yes, but they didn't mention it, the bastards. I'd just like to say, I mean, this is one of those classic things. I think we all at some point in primary school were told about how we had to contribute items to go in some stupid
bloody
time.
Yeah, I want that shit back now.
And how it was, you know, going to be a revelation to people from the future about how things were. And I think if you're going to do that, the time capsule needs to aim a little further ahead than 50 years.
Yeah, or possibly after the breakdown of society and the technological age where no one has any electricity anymore, they go, what the hell's this thing?
Well, that's it. I mean, like, you put a CD in, and unless you're part of a continuing technological tradition, it's just going to be a plastic
disc. Yeah, real to real. What the hell do you do with this stuff?
Yeah.
I apologise to our reel-to-reel enthusiasts that are listening.
Please send a postcard.
Particularly the ones in Fort Collins.
Fort Collins. You sure it's not Fort Lincoln?
It's Fort Collins.
Yeah, Fort Collins.
We had a postcard from Lincolnshire, but it was a ring-in.
That's right, you're confusing it with Lincolnshire.
Hello, Lincolnshire.
All these funny names, I don't know.
Yeah, weird.
They're all foreign to us.
Let's bash them up.
Yeah, that's what we Australians do.
Get down to the beach and have a barbie and get pissed and bash people up.
I was stirred to see John Howard say that Australians weren't racist.
They were just a bit pissed.
They were just a bit pissed.
No, some Australians are racist.
They weren't racist, they're just a bit
pissed.
Those
Australians who are down there on the beach, and let's face it, Alan Jones put the call out on 2GB saying everyone...
Did you say racist and Alan Jones in the same sentence?
Alan Jones read out the SMS saying everyone needs to gather on Cronulla Beach to beat up the wogs and show our Aussie pride. And so they only got 5,000 people out of the whole of Sydney, so that's a vanishing...
I want to know how many fifth-generation Greeks turned up and beat themselves up.
Apparently the racists have decided that Asians are cool now. They like Asians and they like Greeks and they like Italians, and they want everyone to join together and hold hands and beat up the Lebanese.
They're sorry that they accidentally beat up a few Greeks and Italians because they can't tell the difference because they're not well travelled over here in Australia. It's quite far away from basically anywhere.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to play a song now.
Yes, yes. I've got a surprise CD for the podcast. Mm-hmm. That I got on Saturday when I met the person who makes it.
I've got a copy of that CD.
You've got...
Oh, no, I thought you were going to play Cat Weasel, not that
no,
one.
No. This is a surprise. We'll do Cat Weasel later. Next.
Uh-huh.
This is a CD. The band is called Magic Rob.
Ooh.
And the CD is called Cellophane World.
Now, this isn't that guy that we played in podcast Single Digits that had the porno poetry, is it? He's not Magic Rob, is he?
No, this is it.
That was Andre the Poet or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think.
Alexander the Poet,
yeah. I
fondly remember him.
No, this is Magic Rob, a guy called Rob Burgess, who lives in Canberra, and the cover of the CD is quite lovely. He's standing there against the black background, and he's holding out a cape that's got all the rainbow colours on it.
And it's called
Cellophane World.
Cellophane World.
And he's got a Technicolor Dreamcoat.
And the song titles are variously Rainbow, Fairy Dust, Enchanted, Venus Island, Secret Garden, Land of Dreams, Through the Magic Mirror, Merlin, Green Note.
So stick with us now for this magical journey, this magical trip, and we'll be back to talk more shit after this track.
And he told me, superfluously told me that it's got a sort of a fantasy theme.
Oh, do you think?
This CD. On the back is sort of a textured drawing.
Aye.
And there's a castle and a dragon.
Is this the album Samuel Gordon Stewart would have made if he'd made an album?
I don't know. I think Samuel's a bit more rooted in the real world.
Yeah, he'd have a bus on his...
Terribly.
I watched the Snappy video the other day and wow.
Snappy.
Could we please not mention that song ever?
Don't.
Again.
Okay.
All right, anyway, so this is... we'll play track one of Cellophane Worlds. It's called Rainbow. Thank you.
well, we're sorry about that, and you might notice we've broken our own rules and interrupted a song.
Yeah, and, because I suggested to you when I started playing that we don't have to play all of this.
And I said, no, we always play a song through. And then we got into it, and then I thought, my God, this is the most stupid shit we've ever fucking played, and we shouldn't do this anymore.
I'd just like to say to our international audience that have been bombarded, doubtless, by stories of Australian hate, Australian racism.
This is why we like beating up people.
No, this is the alternative.
That Australia also encompasses works of such beauty that we're unable to appreciate it.
I'm going to give up my job tomorrow and go where the rainbows are. Yeah. I've been inspired. No, of course not. Anyway, it's fucking boring as hell.
I don't think it's really my kind of thing.
You like good things?
No, I'm more with the whole hating.
Yeah, but this is just shit.
That was too lovely for by half. And there we go. There's an example of some beautiful loveliness.
Gone wrong.
If you like that sort of thing.
With the best intentions of the world, if you know bloody good, you're not going to do anyone any favours. We're not all drunk and
serving up people Rob, from other places.
Yeah, we know this guy, Rob. And he's a lovely guy. Big sweetie.
How much money did he pour into this monstrosity?
Well, I don't know how much money he spent recording it.
Not much on the cover,
probably not much, possibly a home system. But he bought 100 copies of the CD, got them printed locally in Canberra for $3.30 each.
Right.
Yeah, and he was trying to sell them for $10. I mean, he probably
which will. Is a fair price for a local CD.
I'm skimped.
Yeah. It's okay, but I made him give me that one.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you give it back.
No, next time I see him, I'm going to give him $10 because I just thought, why did I do that?
So you can actually give it.
Poor bastard, he's trying to, you know, do his thing.
It was the sort of thing that might have been a hit back in the 60s when everyone was fucked on drugs.
We could get fucked on drugs now.
It harks back to another era, is that what you're trying to say?
We might have to after that.
So did Atoll, though. You said it reminded you of Pink Floyd. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But good Pink Floyd.
Oh, good Pink Floyd, okay.
Yeah, that kind of reminded me of concept album bad.
Yes, yeah. Like Blue Reed's Magic Machine Music.
Well, it is called yeah. Something Magic, isn't it?
That was considered one of the worst albums.
No, it's Magic Rob, Self-Aid World.
Well, maybe we could start a little competition here.
Send us the worst fucking music in the world.
The worst album that you've ever heard.
We have permission to
reproduce.
That'd be
great. Tune in. Why don't you download a podcast automatically as we send you the worst crap in the whole world's got to offer.
I honestly don't think Rob would win that one.
No, it's not the worst music in the world. Many people think Catweasel is playing that next. Aren't you lucky you downloaded this?
Hello, Fred Collins. What have you got to offer?
Listen, you know, sometimes appreciating art is not all just pleasure. Sometimes you've got to...
That's true. I mean,
Blue Poles is not intense and ugly experiences, yeah. You know.
Blue Poles is not aesthetically pleasing on a simple level, but I still have it hanging on my wall in near life size.
Do you?
Yeah.
In near life size?
Yeah, it's like my one's 3x2 meters.
Okay, note to international audience. Most expensive artwork Australia ever purchased.
It's damn big on my wall. I couldn't fit the real thing.
Thank you, Jackson Pollock.
Mm.
Yeah, that was a present from a an ex-girlfriend. Well, it was a present from a girlfriend at the time, but she was in Scotland and she mailed me this thing, and it cost us £70 to buy it. And
did she roll it up or did she pack it flat?
It came in a roll.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah, it was a big bloody roll. It was an impressive present to get in the post. It then cost me $400 to frame the fucking thing.
Well, lovely. Have you got present? No blue tack? God's sake!
Just stick it on the ceiling. Yeah. No, well, anyway.
No, once you see my ceiling at the party.
Did you see the girl again?
No.
No.
She'd gone and she never came back.
Yeah. So we spruik for our local audience your cocktail party again?
Email johnboy@theriteact.com, the-riteact.com, if you want to come to the Christmas Eve party, and I will vet your application and possibly send you the details.
I think you need to organise a bottle register. So you don't get five people turning up with bottles of blue Carrico or something.
Is bourbon and Coke a cocktail?
Yeah, so when you email me, come as a blue Carrico, that'll be great.
So this vetting procedure is just to make sure that no Lebanese come to the party.
No, a single Lebanese is welcome, or even a Lebanese and their date would be lovely.
I want a surfing Lebanese person there.
I don't want to end up like that poor bastard in Canberra just last week who went down for 3 months because he'd beaten up gatecrashers. So,
Yeah, it doesn't sound right. Don't worry, we'll do that. Yeah. And my name's Steve.
People gate crashed his party with baseball bats and smacked his brother up, and he thought his brother was dead. And then the partygoers rallied and drove out the gate crashers, and he chased them down the street. He'd picked the letterbox out of his front lawn and caught one of these bastards and smashed him in the head, and the kids got spinal injuries.
I think we saw that the other day. Well, there were some people walking down the street with
and letterboxes. And so he got a 3-year custodial sentence suspended to 3 months of weekend detention. I mean, I can understand a conviction had to be recorded, but personally, I think if people invade your house with baseball bats, then any damage they get in the ensuing fracas is tough.
Wasn't the guy running away when he chased after him? You can see how he would. You can see how he would.
I guess that's why they commuted his sentence. Anyway, I'm all up for violent immediate revenge for anything, basically. I think it's a good idea.
It's not like he hunted them down the next day.
No.
Now, Cat Weasel, Anthony Ives.
Yeah.
Not singer. The unpopular, outdated show that hasn't been seen on any television for 20 years.
It was a great show, actually.
I loved it.
Anthony Ives. Anthony Ives is a singer of Cat Weasel.
Yeah.
Guy called Jason.
Electric
guitar.
Yeah.
We know these people.
They were a very talented bunch of musicians, and they like to do. I used to quite admire the complexity of their music.
Complexity. What sort of complexity?
Well, in that the different instruments would be doing quite different things, and it would come together to form a whole if you had an ear that was minded to listen for that.
Everyone improvising at once.
Well, they weren't necessarily improvising; they practiced a lot. But it was certainly doing the keyboards would be playing quite complex, and at times amelodic.
He was a good keyboardist.
He's a brilliant keyboardist. And the guitar's doing something, and some people said this is not what music should be, and threw things at them.
Right.
And some people, like me, said this is really cool, I like it.
Some people didn't even notice that complexity.
Because they were listening to Anthony's vocals.
And he's actually a good singer.
He's a very good vocalist.
Nice sounding voice, whatever, but I think a little constrained in the range.
Well, not everyone does their swooping falsettos to basso profundos like you did.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I can't even do
a falsetto. Jim.
Have you heard my falsetto? It's not good. But anyway.
I have heard your falsetto many times.
You reckon that Planet is the best song in this CD, which is called Chase the Cat?
Yeah, by Cat Weasel.
Is that a reference to Chase the Dragon?
I don't think so.
No.
Or maybe it's when you're smoking marijuana off the tinfoil. Or a cat. Smoking a cat on tinfoil.
Cats are a feral introduced species in this country.
As opposed to...
They slaughter our poor defences native fauna.
Yeah, I don't like cats, by the way. Anyone wanted to know, I don't like cats.
So we do condone
smoking
cats.
I mean, I love them personally,
cats.
But as an idea, they're not good.
We prefer to export
them back
to where
kill birds.
Should we just play the music?
Yeah, so this is Planet.
Coming up next, a story about birds.
Day. Can you see the night?
go away unless you let it go. What's destroyed your strawberry field this day? Help and love, if you look for it, will soon be on its way. Such a lovely place. Can you see, look around, see all the angel grace? Would you like to share a bit of it with us? Come along, you don't wanna miss a bus. No, you don't wanna miss a bus. In your corner of the universe, yeah, we're here on this lovely planet. I might as well be a spaceship. Look up there, you can see the moon. You can be a shining star. You can ride a comet out through this universe, out past Jupiter, out past Neptune, out past Pluto. We can go beyond on this lovely planet. In your corner of the universe, in your corner of the universe. Yeah, we're all floating on this planet we call Earth.
You're live.
Back in the pod now, we're going to talk about
your product review.
My product review.
Well, aren't we going to say at least that was Cat
Weasel?
Band.
Oh, yeah, that's Cat Weasel. Weasel, yeah. We just played their song, something, brother.
We should explain to the audience that we just had like a 20-minute break where we just sat around and talked hilarious shit that you're going to miss out on.
Yeah,
and we're sorry.
You shouldn't be here.
Yeah. That
sorry,
was so much more fun.
Save our gold.
We just go quiet when the mic's on.
Come on, product review.
Product review.
Now, we haven't had a Captain Pants product review for some time since, if you remember, back to podcast something or other.
We did the Rattlesnake review 2 podcasts ago.
Oh, we did. Okay, we have had a product review quite recently. And before that, we had some technological reviews. They were crap.
About MP3 player and
crap,
FM transmitter.
Actually, and we might have an update of that in future.
Because I've told them how to make it work.
The fans of that particular crap.
Yeah, get on.
But
with
today,
it.
We have something completely different. This is the Oz Grab.
It says easy.
Foam cast, all rights reserved, 2001.
Where did you come by this tray?
Inside drink tray and seat. One side is a seat, you can sit on that, and the other side holds drinks.
You know, it's like one of the design rules of things. If you're going to have a multitasking thing,
You can do both at the same time.
But wait, there's more. Well, if you put just cans in the drinks tray,
that's
cans,
true.
And if you didn't open them, you'd have like a stool.
It would
possibly
be a better seat with the cans in, because then it would be elevated. As it is, it's about as useful as an esky lid.
I'd like to say that we haven't tried that out because we all bought different sized beverages.
There is actually also the...
It's a foam seating thing.
Disc.
About the size of like a big stool top.
Yeah,
and you can sit on that. It's foam, and it's like soft, and you can sit.
Or
on
you
it.
Can put it on a
if
hard
you don't
stool
want to sit
tops.
On the. We actually trialed this. Now we trialed this in our own home, and we put it on top of a chair and we could sit on it. So there we go. And also nice. We've put some drinks in it on the drinks tray, which is on the other side to the seat bit. We haven't done both at once, but it does. We don't think that that's what it's intended for. It didn't come with instructions. And it does have a metal clip.
Oh, the metal clip.
Which we think is most intended for clipping onto the back of your belt so that you can just sit down with it.
Wherever you go.
But now there's a flaw because you won't be able to see this, but the clip is on the drink tray side. So if you do clip it onto your belt, you'll be sitting on the little holes where the drinks would go.
Yeah, that's right.
It could be that.
It's a hemorrhoid cushion. You've bought a hemorrhoid cushion.
Look how big they fit a stubby, a can or whatever.
Oh, a
so
really big hemorrhoid.
You've got some fucking serious hemorrhoids if you're sitting on that. But for people that are suffering from that condition in a massive scale, which we are witnessing here, that could be a real boon. It could be a real boon. And we've trialled it, we've put things in it, and we've sat on it, and it works. And it retails for less than $3 from my favourite, not Australia's, I was going to say, but that's not true. My favourite retailer, Dimmies. And I'd like to just send out a big hi to Dimmies everywhere, except to the ones that aren't in Swan Street, Richmond. You fucking fakes. You're not real Dimmy stores. The real ones in fucking Swan Street, Richmond. Get fucking fuck yourself. I'm sorry about the abuse if my mum and dad are listening. That was John Boy. And,
right. Are you finished?
I think I finished, really.
Do you give it a mark out of something?
It says it's a sports seat. Yeah,
a sports seat?
Mark out of 10, 1. I'm going to buy another one, though. I think it's great. It's
somebody
cheap.
Somebody got that
manufactured
and
I'm going to see if it lasts for more than a month. And
you're
if
gonna
it
have
does,
the worst garage
might get
sale
another.
I want to know what the little dudes in China thought when they were churning out.
I don't know if it was made in China, but it probably was, yeah.
You know what? I reckon it would make a half-decent sort of Frisbee substitute.
We haven't tried that. It might actually be really cool.
You need to rip that metal clip off. I reckon that metal clip would
well,
be
well, what I was thinking is you could turn it around and the metal clip, ladies and gentlemen, the metal clip would then be extending past the edge of the soft cushion.
Oh, it'll help you
cone,
catch it as it sliced your fingers off.
And you could use it as a weapon. Perhaps if you're in Cronulla and you have it sitting on the beach and you didn't want to sit on the sand because it's too hard. And say something.
Or if you are a person of Middle Eastern extraction and the rest of the community comes up.
Attack you, walk past. Or, exactly. If you're just sitting on there minding your own business and some yobbos walk past, you could also use it as a weapon to defend yourself.
Not yobbos.
Not
they're just fuckwits of any sort.
Yeah.
This weapon will work on.
Is yobbos a class sort of related term?
Well, yobbos indicates it's an ochre Aussiness, whereas
I think that's just because they're the majority. That's all.
Yeah, we're just talking about fuckwits though. If a fuckwit's tissing you, giving you shit, you just turn that clip around and slice their fucking throats open.
Anyway, here is our drink. Colder and seat.
No, call them brother and play.
Ask for it by name.
Prop.
We don't know what it's called, but give it a go.
Well, you got to go to Dimmies, don't you?
Well, that's the way.
Are there any Dimmies stores in Canberra?
No.
Possibly yesterday. When I was supposed to be working. And
down the coast, is that it?
Dimmies in Goulburn.
Well, there is one in Goulburn. That's where this particular item came from. If you are listening from Goulburn, pop down to Dimmies, get yourself one. It won't cost much. A beer's more. And if you get it. Another beer, an actual beer, you could put it in it.
I think you could also use it as part of your Christmas light decoration.
To annoy Mary Porter.
Yeah.
Where does
bitch.
She live?
I don't know, but we're going to give out her address next podcast and frisbee these things at her.
Moving right along. Jackie.
No, not really.
Sashoir.
I thought it was Six Hour.
And that's. Well, Jackie, whatever her name is, tantalisingly close to coming into the pod. And playing her music for us. She may come soon. Who knows? Probably depends if she listens to this podcast. And
in which case,
depends
on
what we say.
Depends what we say. So
I actually pushed to get this song included as an upbeat, poppy sort of thing to make up for the
all the crap we've played so far.
Hey, we played Rory McLeod.
Except for Rory,
of course.
But even that wasn't so upbeat.
Yeah.
No, it was one that was meaning.
So this is my gift to you, dear listener.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so I mean, of course, one of the things we'll ask Jackie when she comes in is, how the hell do you say your last name?
That would be good. We'll be sly about
That'll
it.
That'll be a shocking
We'll get her to introduce herself.
Yes.
And then we'll know, and we'll pretend we always knew.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
That's a good one, Jack.
It's just like when you've been talking to a girl in a bar for a few hours, and then you realise that you can't remember what her name was from way back at the start of the conversation.
I do that in 2 minutes.
Yeah. I'd place the name somewhere in the Balkans, but it's spelt S-E-C... Z-A-W-A.
It's Central European. I vaguely recall her even telling me where it came from years ago.
Anyway, she's probably more Ocker than us.
Anyway, Jackie was clever enough to insert one of her tracks called Thought of Love on the 2004 Caught in the Act album.
Caught in the ACT, Australian Capital Territory. Yeah. Clever play on words.
Isn't that good? Okay, laugh now.
And let's just go to that, shall we, sir?
It's Thought of Love.
Listeners that are still with us after that poppy number.
Look, okay, every bloody Jackie 6 Hours song I've ever heard was poppy. It had a dance beat. Mark Hemmingson produced it. It went boom, 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 boom. And it was fun, even if you didn't particularly like it. And Jackie's flirted with me a few times in the past. And
allegedly.
I've got the signed CD case. Yes, anyway, so that wasn't very poppy. It was
folky.
Jackie trying to do Lorena McKennitt. As near as I can tell.
Doing maudlin and bad.
Right, Sharky's not a fan.
Which cuts, we're now going
I'm
to...
I'm not saying I'm not a fan, I'm not a fan of her singing that song.
Right.
I don't know anything else of hers.
Okay.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
So on the basis of what you know, you're not a fan?
No.
Yeah, she's probably going to come in and do a much better version in here of something
I'd hope
else.
So.
You know, hey, and she can flirt with me some more, that'll be good.
We'll film that to see if it's true. Gertrude.
In the meantime... We did mention before that we were going to mention this story, mention this story from Reuters about Elvis Woodpecker Draws Searches, is its headline. Anyway,
that's the most cryptic headline the world's ever seen, really.
Yeah, oh, doesn't it draw the eye?
Elvis Woodpecker.
Basically, this bird, the ivory-billed woodpecker, which they thought was extinct, is back. And it's the Elvis of the bird world.
Why?
Because everyone thought it was
gone.
Because
it's come back into the building?
No, why is it the Elvis of the bird world?
Isn't that the kiwi? I mean, when I was a kid, they told me the kiwi was extinct. And
they lied, and the California condor. And that bird deserves to die because it rolls its eggs off the fucking cliff and they wonder why they don't hatch.
No. Only the strong survive.
Damn
it's
you.
It's a pretty tough bird, I reckon.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Elvis the woodpecker.
Elvis, yeah. I think it's called that because the Audubon Society senior ornithologist Frank Gill said it's kind of like finding Elvis. That's all. That's the only reason.
It's a grail-like bird.
It is rather striking looking, apparently.
Right. Woodpeckers go.
They call it the Lord God bird because people would exclaim, "Lord God, what a good woodpecker," on first spotting one.
Lord God,
a bird nerd thing, isn't it?
Yeah, anyway, I thought the story was worthy of mentioning just on the last paragraph, which says, "Signs describing the ivory bill have weathered well in Arkansas," Andrew said. "We have signs that were put up in April that have not one bullet hole in them," which is a reflection, I think, of the community's reaction to the bird. Yeah.
That's nice.
Because they shoot up all the other signs, yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting that only the signs they like, they don't shoot. Because I just thought shooting signs was something you're driving by with your shotgun and you're looking...
There.
you're looking for something.
No, no, that's
shoot.
My favourite sign. Don't shoot that. No, I love it.
Well, obviously, because I just thought you shot signs because there was a sign there, not because...
While you're driving.
Well, yeah.
Well, somebody else.
If you're blasting the shotguns at signs, you're doing it as you go by. You're not hanging around.
I never thought
possibly
of that.
Possibly not the driver.
Have you ever shot at a sign?
No.
Well,
no,
me
I've
neither.
Never shot a gun.
Ever?
No.
I've shot a few things.
What about an air rifle?
I believe so. At the county fair.
Poor little air rifle, whatever did you?
Right. Something like that.
You've never ever shot a gun?
Not that I can recall.
Gertrude here's been rabbit hunting.
I've shot an arrow.
Arrows
it was a rifle, really.
Yeah. A gun is a rifle, yeah. A rifle is a gun, anyway.
Well, the bloke I knew in the Navy said you never call them guns. They're the big things on ships.
If
pistols are rifles.
In a maritime setting,
Was he? Yeah, I was suspecting
that. In the Navy, we can do something quite rude.
Motor. Oh, we can tell our Fremantle prison story, where they had a prisoner in Fremantle Prison, which is now a museum rather than an actual functioning prison. Hello, West Australia, and particularly Fremantle. Your prison, ex-prison, has a chapel, and it's got the Ten Commandments written out, and the one that says, "Thou shalt
not
kill," says, "Thou shalt not murder."
Thou shalt
commit
do no
murder.
Murder.
Yes. And,
no, that's a translation thing. That's justifiable.
No, it isn't. It's
what
simple.
Crap?
No, it isn't.
What
it's
crap
just,
you speak?
No, it's just to differentiate between what they were doing to people
gallows
and what they were doing.
I'm
to
saying
people.
That even if you're not in the Fremantle prison, that interpretation is.
I've heard that before. Thou shalt do no murder.
Yeah, that's an allowable interpretation.
Mm. Is that right? Yeah, well, I guess actually it's a bit
now, sure, they probably
sort of
chose
thing.
That interpretation for their own shallow reasons, but it is a valid interpretation.
It is in a room quite close to the hanging room.
Yeah.
Where they
it's
obviously were killing people.
They didn't make that up just for themselves at the time.
Right. Obviously, it had come up before in various other states.
Well, every government in the world wants you to believe it's okay to pick up a rifle for your country and go and shoot foreigners. Or go down to Cronulla Beach and smack up Lebanese, but
I'm not sure if governments think that's good.
Pretty okay, sure. Executive decision.
Let's
go back to the start.
No, this has been fun.
Should we do it? See if it's a pile of shit.
That's
fine. Let's do that.
Let's just say good night.
Let's have
good night, everyone.
Nacht.
Good night, John boy. Bye bye.
Insatiable banality. You've been listening to Insatiable Banalities podcast number 33, recorded on Tuesday, the 13th of December, 2005. Insatiable Banalities.